You're listening to Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Join the conversation on our Facebook page or on Twitter. And be sure to like and follow us for more great Catholic content. Now, back to the show.
Okay, back again. This is our final half hour of Real Presence Live this morning. And my name is Jack Canelli, and my wife, Doreen, is also our co-host. And we're happy to have you with us. And for this last half hour, we've got Mary Hanbury, who's the director of catechesis for the Diocese of Fargo. But she also has a real interest in traveling, and she's going to tell us about some kind of local Midwest shrines that would probably be easily accessible to those of you in our listening audience or listening area, and especially if you're kind of looking for a place to go this summer for a family vacation, maybe you could consider putting one of these shrines on your list. And but Mary, since you are the director of catechesis for the Diocese of Fargo, why don't we do a little catechesis on what shrines are?
Sure. Good morning, Jack and Doreen. You know, it's interesting. I get this question quite a bit. But what is a shrine? A shrine simply is just a dedicated holy place. Now, there are shrines in different religions. So for us as Catholics, that designation comes from a bishop or from the Vatican that specifically says this place is a holy place. And then what that means in our tradition is that it's a place of pilgrimage for Catholics to make a journey to this special place. The sacraments are usually celebrated there. There's usually some specific, something to go see at this place. Could be a relic of the saint, could be maybe it was a Marian apparition, or maybe they've got other particular holy things there, like the shroud or things like that.
Mm-hmm. So why don't we get on the road, as so to speak, and do you have any, what are some of the shrines in our local area that you want to talk
surprisingly
about?
Surprisingly, there's a ton of local shrines in the United States.
It looks like
even in the Midwest.
Mary brought four books with her here. They're right on the table.
Yes.
But we will not have time to go through all of them.
No, and they're on the. I asked them to put them up on the website because they are some of my references. And actually, before I forget this too, EWTN has a new show, and I believe it just started this week on the national shrines in the United States. And I believe it's like at 3:30. They're showing it today. I think it started on Sunday, and then they're doing an encore this afternoon.
Do they highlight one shrine for each program, or is it just kind
that
of
I'm not sure? Okay. It just started. Well, yeah.
Now, is a national shrine? Is there anything more to that than say just a local or regional shrine, or is it just kind of it's a famous place, more famous than say Our Lady of Guadalupe and La Crosse or something like that, even though that's probably a national shrine.
Right. Not really. So here's a good example. I was driving along in Iowa. I was kind of going on my own little pilgrimage to check out different shrines, and I stopped by a beautiful church in the middle of nowhere in Iowa in Dyersville. It's actually a basilica. I mean, the church is huge. It's beautiful. It's all marbled, and the ladies in the church take turns being there during the day to receive people who want to come and see it, or pilgrims. They just do rosary walks around it. And I remember standing there thinking, like, this church is in the middle of nowhere, tiny little town, nothing around it. It's a big, huge basilica, like something you'd see in Rome. Why is it a basilica? And all they could tell me is that the bishop petitioned, probably because of the beauty of the church, that it be declared a basilica. So sometimes it's just as simple as that, of why a particular spot becomes a place of pilgrimage or a shrine or things like that.
And don't you wonder, okay, whose brainchild was it? Whose inspiration was it? Who are the builders that came out in the middle of nowhere?
Where'd they get all the marble from?
And the money.
And the money. It's beautiful.
Wow. Well, that would be fun to go to.
Do a tour. There's these little gems all
but
over
you have
the
to
place.
Find Dyersville first.
Yes, that's right. You do. Well, about 35 minutes out of Dubuque, Iowa.
That's kind of like the beautiful church. Is it The Hague out west?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. That's another middle of nowhere.
Right. There are some places like, okay, so this basilica in the middle of nowhere, it's not designated a shrine. It is a basilica. But because of the beauty of it, there's no saint there or anything, or relics of a saint, because of the beauty of it, people come. So these days, they're making pilgrimages just to go see the beauty of a church.
Is the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle there, do you know?
Yeah, it's a regular parish.
Oh, it is a regular parish.
Yeah, it's a regular parish.
Oh. Yep.
Okay, well, you wrote an article in the New Earth.
I did.
So why don't we go there first?
Okay, let's talk about that.
Wisconsin.
So I'm doing a whole series, actually. So this year I'm doing a series of the Midwest pilgrimages. Next year, because of the Jubilee year, we'll go probably to overseas to Rome and things like that. But this year we're looking at just things in our own area. So the article I wrote in the Diocese of Fargo Diocesan Magazine, so I have this article every month, is on Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Along with that is a Marian apparition place in Champion, Wisconsin. Our Lady of Champion is what it's called now.
Why did that change? Do you know anything about that?
About last year.
Oh, okay.
It's like their official
title.
Yeah. Yeah. And so so for example, let's talk about Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I'm sure many of our listeners maybe have heard of this one. It's actually fairly new. I don't know when it was built, but maybe 30 years ago or something like that. 30, 40?
I don't know if it was that long ago.
I was thinking 15.
I know, okay. They keep building on it, so they keep adding things outside.
Our son and daughter-in-law were married 13 years ago, and just before they started dating, we went there with them, and it was pretty new, so I'm going to guess maybe 15, 20 years ago.
But yeah, 15, 20. And they keep adding things, so there's a rosary walk, there's Stations of the Cross, there's the Shrine of the Unborn. So anyway, beautiful. The Diocese of La Crosse just decided we wanted this Marian shrine at this spot. There's no significant history to why that spot. They just thought, we need a place of pilgrimage. We need to dedicate this to the unborn, which is why it's Our Lady of Guadalupe. And we want pilgrims to come and have this sense of peace because it's up high on this hill. There's nothing else around it. Spend time there, receive the sacraments, go on retreat there. It's a beautiful, quiet place. You can spend all day just in prayer and silence and going through the different, you know, like the rosary walk or the tomb or the different shrines just outside.
Little chapels,
outside. Yeah.
With candles, you can light candles, and it's just beautiful.
It is really beautiful, yeah.
And if I recall, they have a restaurant there, and I think it still might be a restaurant that's well beyond just, you know, like your normal cafeteria kind of thing.
Yes, they have a very nice restaurant.
Yes.
And a very nice big gift store that pilgrims usually love, too. So that's just, 4 or 5 hours away? La Crosse?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe five.
Yeah.
But right on the border of Minnesota and Wisconsin. I highly recommend that place if you get a chance to move through there. There's lots of little gems in Wisconsin, especially, that we'll talk about to go see.
Especially beautiful in the fall.
Yes, because you get
on a wooded hill, lots of color.
Yes. And I think it's the spot where you see a lot of bald eagles on the river there. People go in like January to see the bald eagles come in on the river there. It's just the whole area is just absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And if any of our guests visit Real Presence Radio, they can see bald program hosts every once in a while, too.
At least one.
At least one. Well, do you want to talk about the Champion Shrine a little bit, too?
So this one had to do with the Marian apparition back in the 1800s. I think it was 1840s, 50s. Mm-hmm. So there was a woman from Belgium. She wanted to become a nun. Her parents were moving to the United States at the time, so she really couldn't just go off and do this quite yet, so she came with them. They settled just north of Green Bay, in the finger of Wisconsin, they call it. And one day, she's walking to church. It's very rural, you know. She's just walking down the path to church, and suddenly Our Lady appears to her. And Our Lady had asked her specifically to catechize the children in the area, basically. It's a lot of children, natives who didn't know the faith, or the immigrants coming in as well didn't know the faith. So it's one of a rare apparitions where Our Lady says to catechize, which for my job, I love that one. And so she's just thinking, like, how am I going to do this, basically? And so she talks to the priest and kind of goes through, like, you know, what just happened to me. And she realizes, like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go offer my services to help families, like clean their house, help cook, whatever they need, in order that I can then sit down and catechize their children. That's the bargain she makes with families, all to go ahead and catechize.
Practical.
And so, yeah, very practical. She's like, I'm told to do this, but how am I, you know, I'll go help. And so eventually they form a religious order, and the shrine is built. They were going to actually have a bigger shrine built, but I think there's still battles with land and how to make it bigger, that kind of thing. But it still is a beautiful, peaceful spot to go and visit, and they've got a museum there and the history there. And there's a great story of a fire, the Peshtigo fire that took over, and everything around there burned. People were running to the church. Everything but the church on the property burned down completely. And they even said the fence, the one side of the fence that would be towards the fireside, all charred. The inside of the fence where the church was, left as natural.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a 21-mile walk to Mary pilgrimage every year that's coming up on May 4th.
May 4th.
Yes. So it's 21 miles, and it's a walk to Mary. You can go online, walktomary.com, if you're interested in that wonderful pilgrimage.
Yes, that would be great. But something we should talk about maybe after the break is there's this huge rise in walking pilgrimages. I'm seeing it in Europe. I'm seeing it here as well. So part of the pilgrimage in our history, it's been walking pilgrimages. Obviously, in the Middle Ages, you know, there were no trains or whatever. And a lot of the saints, you know, when they went through a conversion, they marked that threshold or that change in their life by leaving behind something and going on a walk to a place where they leave their all the day-to-day activities, their past life behind. It's all centered on God. Well, they get to the place, make their offering. They often would do penances to kind of mark that transition, basically. And I think people today are doing the same thing, and there's that need to, like, it's too easy just to drive up to the shrine. Hey, hello, I'm here. You know, go in the beautiful restaurant of Our Lady Guadalupe, having really great food, you know, versus, you know, spending 21 miles to walk there, you know.
Break.
Yes. Okay, with that, I think it's a good time for a break. So we'll go on a break. We're talking to Mary Hanbury about some shrines in the upper Midwest and maybe some vacation ideas. And we will be back with more after this break, so stay with us for more Real Presence Live.
This is Real Presence Live, where the focus is not on the evil around us, but on conversion and mercy through the good news that is always good. We're local, engaging, and live on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Spring brings the promise of new beginnings. The season reminds us that a new life is always around the corner. We can take inspiration from this and create a little spring of our own by remembering a life that was dear to us. A memorial gift of cash or property is a wonderful way in which to perpetuate the memory of a loved one. Please let us know about a person or persons you would like to remember and the best way we can honor them. For more information, please call Mike at 701-290-4503.
This is Father Bo Brown from the Diocese of Duluth. A lot of times us as Catholics, we struggle with the Holy Spirit because the Father is so approachable. He has a name that's very, that we all know, right, that we can relate to, and the Son as well. And when you get the Holy Spirit, oftentimes He can take this kind of back seat in our relationship with God. And we see early on in the book of Acts and in the disciples in the early life of the church, we see how they live with the Holy Spirit, and they express to us what it's like to live with Him and how He both sanctifies what they do and their ministry and gives them special gifts, and also how He sanctifies their own lives. And they talk about how the Spirit brings certain effects in their life, like joy and peace, patience, kindness, generosity, self-control. So I think it's good for us to think about today. What's our relationship with the Holy Spirit like? Is He a real person in our lives? We have the same kind of relationship with Him that we have with the Father and the Son.
Did you know you can listen to Real Presence Live anytime on any podcast platform? Just search for Real Presence Radio on platforms such as Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and on the Real Presence Radio website. Then subscribe so you don't miss any future shows. If you like what you hear, give us a good rating so other people can find us as well. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope.
This is Real Presence Live on the RPR Network, bringing you stories of faith and hope through local hosts and guests from across the Upper Midwest. Now, back to the show.
Okay, we're back. Welcome back. We're glad you're with us. And before we get back to our discussion with Mary, I know this has been somewhat of a joke drought day today, so we're going to let Dreen cue one up here and take it away.
Okay, either of you are welcome to answer this.
Okay.
How do you make a waterbed bouncier?
Bounce on it?
Fill it with spring water.
Oh.
Okay.
Well.
Always the groans.
That one's really pepping us up.
Right.
Okay, well, let's talk to Mary. We've got some fun things to talk about with these shrines and, travel in the Upper Midwest. During the break, we were talking about Minnesota, and we're talking about Montana and all sorts of places. So, Mary, where do you want to continue? We've just kind of talked about Champion. Where do you want to take us next?
Yeah, so let's go back to Minnesota, because there's a couple here, too. There's a shrine north of Minneapolis called St. Odelia Shrine. It's very small. The shrine part, it's a church, and then there's a separate part that's where they keep her relics. She was a medieval saint who was born blind.
Great.
Yes.
See, patron saint of vision.
Yeah, yes, she is.
Yeah.
And she was martyred at an early age. Anyway, the Crozier monks, one of them had a dream of her saying, this is where my relics are, and the Crozier should be the custodian of them. So anyway, in 1953, the Crozier monks brought them over from Europe to Minnesota, where they settled, and her relics are in that shrine there. So obviously, her patron is for people who have eye problems or blindness or anything with the eyes. And so for pilgrims, that would be a great pilgrimage to go. You can bring petitions of other people. Say somebody in your family is struggling with their eyes. I know my mom has a lot of eye issues. And pray in front of her relics there. That would be an example of.
And say where that is again, north of Minneapolis?
Yeah, I can't say the name. It's,
okay, I'll look it up.
Yeah, north of Minneapolis, yes.
Wow.
I suppose you can Google it and then get it on your GPS.
Yeah, you would. They've got a website. Yeah,
I'm sure they do.
Yeah, we're just giving them kind of the overhead view.
Yeah.
Yes.
And while you're driving to the area, Minneapolis has St. Paul's Cathedral, which is actually a dedicated shrine. Most people don't know this.
Know
it was dedicated in the year of St. Paul, which was not that many years ago, 2016, something like that. The Vatican declared it, and they actually gave them. For a while, they had a relic of St. Paul there as well, but I don't think it's there anymore. But the cool thing about that church is how the immigrants put their money to build it. And so there's a pathway that you can go see, for example, the French shrine, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, a statue of her. But in the corner there is a slab that comes from the prison where St. Joan of Arc was held, the actual prison.
Really?
Yeah, and it's marked there on the wall. Most people probably don't even know this. They have a replica of the Pietà. The Pietà is done by Michelangelo. It's a sculpture of Mary holding the dead Christ, right? If you go to Rome to see it, it's at St. Peter's Basilica. It's there's glass there, and there's always gobs of people. You can barely get close. But during World War II, they made cast molds of all their precious art. Obviously, they didn't know what was going to happen with the war. And from that cast mold, this replica was made. And so you can go down to Minneapolis in St. Paul's Cathedral and go pray right in front of it. You can actually be, like, within touchable. I don't know if they let you touch it, but my guess is they probably do, and spend some time there. My last pilgrimage in Rome, a lady in my group had said she just received a lot of graces just even seeing the Pietà. That was her sharing of grace through the whole week. And I said, well, you could go pray in front of it at St. Paul's Cathedral in Minneapolis. And they have a great online kind of tutorial as you go through, like, what do you see? What's the history of this? And that's kind of where I learned about the stone of Joan of Arc as well.
Wow. And that's St. Paul's Cathedral.
St. Paul's Cathedral, also dedicated a shrine. Yep.
There's something about that cathedral, too, that I've never figured out. And they have a baldacchino over the altar. And I think it's several tons of bronze.
Probably, yes.
And it looks like it's just suspended there. There's like four columns, and then there's this large dome-like thing in the middle, and I don't know what's holding it up there.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. The church, I don't know either, but the architecture is absolutely beautiful in the cathedral as well. Plus, it's neat to go see the different shrines. If you go to the Shrine of St. Patrick, there's a green marble behind the statue of St. Patrick. Well, that green marble comes from Ireland. Same thing.
Is that within St. Paul's Cathedral?
Yeah, the different little shrines. Yep. The marble behind the French one comes from France, and so on.
Okay.
So yeah, kind of a neat little. And then on the way there, if you want to stop at the Grasshopper Shrine in Minnesota, it's up a little hill. It's a nice little area. It's a small chapel, and it's got two grasshoppers that are. It shows an image on top of the chapel before you walk in of two grasshoppers, and they're kneeling before Our Lady. Why is this? Well, because in Minnesota during the 1800s, they had the grasshoppers coming in and destroying everything. It was bad. Even Laura Ingalls Wilder talked about it in her books, how the grasshoppers just destroyed all the crops. It was they were eating everything, even cloth. I mean, it was really, really bad. And so the people got together and they started having pilgrimages around the area, praying for this plague of the grasshoppers to leave. And eventually it did. And Laura talks about in her books how suddenly one summer they were just gone. And so they built this chapel to Our Lady in remembrance of that, and thankful that, you know, their prayers were answered, basically. But I love the image of the two grasshoppers kneeling in front of Mary. It's great.
Where was that one located?
That's just outside of Minneapolis as well. I don't have the...
Okay, that's the aerial view.
Yep. Again, go online.
Online.
You'll get it. Yes. It's an easy stop.
For farmers.
Yeah, it's an easy stop, actually, if you're heading on 94 going to Minneapolis, so it's not too far off the road.
Let's take 94 out to Montana. You mentioned
yeah,
that.
Montana. There's a new one. Let's go the other direction. So there's a place, it's about in the middle of Montana, Stevensville, where it's called St. Mary's Mission. So at one point, this was a Jesuit mission. They were evangelizing the Native Americans in the area. And so in the 1850s, or maybe it was 1840s, there was a little boy there. His mom wanted him to be baptized. He was 11 years old, but he couldn't learn his catechism. He couldn't learn his prayers, basically. And so he tried and he tried and he tried, and his mom kept saying, "You need to try harder. You need to try harder," and he just couldn't do it. So one day he walked into the room in the mission where he's supposed to be getting his catechesis, and Our Lady appeared to him there. And he got right to his knees, and he just asked her, "Help me." He was in awe, of course, of what was before him. He just said, "Help me." And instantly, this clarity came, and he knew all his prayers. So much so that later on, he was correcting his sister when she made a mistake here and there. And they said they couldn't believe it. And so he actually had, in his dreams, they say, other apparitions of her coming to him and saying things in his dreams. Now, he died 2 years later. Oh. It's the Jesuits who tell the story. And if you go there today, you'll see an image. They have a stained glass, and they have a painting of Our Lady appearing before this little boy of 11 years old. Now, it's not an approved apparition in the United States. We only have one of those, and that's in Champion, Wisconsin. But my guess is because there's no documentation other than the Jesuits telling the story. He died early. The Jesuits left back to Europe, and there's just nothing to trace for that one. But a neat little story there as well in the mission.
Oh, very. Stevensville, Montana.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if people want to get more information about other pilgrimage sites or shrine sites, do you have a...
Yeah, so there's books out, because this is the big thing. It was big in the Middle Ages, but I think it's becoming as big now.
So they could probably just Google Midwest shrines or something like
that.
Yeah,
so...
Because we're coming up on the break.
Yeah, so there's four books, and they should have been on the website for you, but like Monuments, Marvels, and Miracles, the Catholic Pilgrimage Through America History, there's one on Marian Shrines. There's all kinds of books now that can help you with little maps, where to stop, where to go, all these little gems. Some of them I never even heard of myself, or I'm like, totally going there.
Okay, great. Well, that has to wrap it up for today, Mary. Okay. Sorry, but we'll have to have you come back again and tell us about some more shrines.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, we could do pilgrimage and what a pilgrimage is about and the shrines. Yeah.
Yes. And you can read the New Earth articles that I'm writing each month as well.
Okay, well. It's time for a part of the show that a lot of our listeners have been waiting for, and that's where we get to preview the next show with our board operator or maybe production manager. I don't know. I'm trying to give you a more...
a more reasonable title.
Or well, something. You know, something a little more magnificent. Well, go ahead, Aaron. Tell us what's coming up.
On the next Real Presence Live, your hosts will be Karen Slensky and Father Craig Hochalter, live from Bismarck. Joining them will be Bishop Andrew Cousins, who will speak about the upcoming Eucharistic Congress in Bemidji, Bishop David Kagan, who will speak about the importance of the Easter season, and Ken and Marianne Dupong, who will speak about their daughter Michelle Dupong's path to sainthood. Tune in to the next Real Presence Live Thursday morning from 9 to 11 to catch all of that and more. Back to you.
And more. Okay. Well, great. We had a fine time today, I think. And I thought the guests were fun and interesting. I know talking about miscarriage is kind of a sobering one, but mm-hmm. it was a good talk, I thought.
It was just beautiful. Susan.
Oh, quick. Sure, we've okay. got 1 minute, Dreen, with a joke.
A joke. What's the best flower for a boy to give his mom?
Mom.
Nope. A sunflower.
A sunflower. Okay. I get
Maybe it. That's what the mother should give to her son.
I thought the mom was a pretty good idea.
I like the mom, too. The mom is very good, Jack.
Okay. Okay. Well, I guess, are we coming up on the break here? So, all right. Well, let's just...
54 seconds.
Oh, we got a minute to go.
Yeah.
Let's tell another joke.
All right. What did the big flower say to the little one?
I don't know. Your little shoot.
Well, Jack, you should be writing these.
Yeah, you're good.
That's better than the answer. It's, you're really growing, bud.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
I got to go with Jack's on that one.
Yeah. Again, two points for Jack. Yeah. Okay.
One more, quick.
Okay.
Lee.
Why is spring a great time to start gardening business?
Spring to gardening business? I don't know.
Because it's a season when you can really rake in the cash.
Good one.
All right. Okay. Well, with that, I think we'll just say, let's call it a wrap.
All right. Very good.
Okay. Thanks for being with us, and stay tuned on Real Presence Radio for good Catholic programming throughout the day.
This has been Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Real Presence Live brings you inspirational stories of faith and a look at the good and holy things happening in our local area. Weekday mornings from 9 to 11 Central. Tune in for an encore of each show beginning Saturday morning at 6. Get the podcast any time of day or night at yourcatholicradiostation.com or on the Real Presence Radio app. And remember, you can be a part of the conversation through Facebook and Twitter. Real Presence Live. Local, engaging, and live. On the Real Presence Radio Network.